Hey guys, we're getting to another episode of When the Scriptures Become Real. It's going to be a podcast where we learn, where we study, where we grow, where we try to become the best friends of ourselves as we can, as we continue to serve our Lord. You can guys find the podcast on YouTube or anywhere else to get your podcast. We're just so thankful you guys are here, that you found us, and that you guys are with us today. All right, so we are back into our series, the Single and Searching series. The interaction from this, guys, has been incredible. I just want to thank you guys and your comments and your liking and your sharing. This has just been incredible, and I'm really thankful that we can study this together and we can look at this honestly for ourselves to see how we can get better and how Christ can make us better. So this is just, it's beautiful. Thank you, guys. So part one in this series, if you haven't gone back, please go back and listen to part one, because that is going to be foundational for this one, because this one's going to get real now, right? The first one was real, but this one's going to get really real, okay? And here's what I mean by this. So part one we talked about is not necessarily me or you trying to find God, number one, and it's also not necessarily about me and you trying to find other people that love God. Now, those two are good things, but it's starting at the wrong place. So where should we actually start? It starts with understanding that God pursues you. So now we understand that there has always been, even before your birth, there's always been a pursuit of you. Now, as we begin to understand that more, now guess what we can do? Now I pursue that God that has always been pursuing me. Then the next natural step, now as we go and flow through that, now it shows me and you how to pursue someone else like God pursued me. Make sense? That's foundational. So go back and listen to part one. So part two is going to be special, okay? This one is, just to be honest with you guys, I needed this one so much. I really, really needed this one. And I even had a Bible study on this last night. So I was like, man, this is it. Like, we just got a pot on this. This is the one. So as we look at this, this is going to be interesting. And this is one of those ones where, again, for me personally, I'm pointing all four fingers and thumb, I guess. I was going to say five fingers. I guess all four fingers and thumb at me, because I need to improve. And as you do this, you have to look at yourself. This is where we really get into the nitty gritty of it. Okay. This is where it really gets real. And this is how you really have to study to change. Right? Don't think about anybody else. Think about you. And as we go into this, there's a high possibility that this is one of those podcasts where, you know how when you hear something and it kind of steps on your toes and you hear it and you start fidgeting in your car and you shuffle this one and you go to something else, you go to another song. I wouldn't be surprised if you had to stop this one and start it like a day later, or stop it for like 30 minutes, because this is going to be really, really real as we look at this. So there's a lot of stuff that I have to improve on. And if you're honest, maybe there's some stuff you got to improve on too. So as you get ready, as we get started, as you're getting prepped, you got your notebook, you're in a group, you're walking, you're doing whatever you're doing as we're studying, here's where we want to start our conversation as we get prepped to go. Right now, I am in this room. I'm always in this podcast room. So if you're not watching the video portion, I'll try to describe this. So I'm in a room. There's a studio built here in the church building. And within this studio, it's always been just the camera. We got lights. There's an empty chair behind the camera, and there's a table. Okay. I think there's something interesting about a table. What a table does, a table provides opportunity. A table provides an opportunity for celebration. A table also provides opportunity for fellowship. A table also provides opportunity for tough conversation. There's so many aspects that happen around a table. And there's some times where when you come to the table, sometimes you don't know what opportunity that table is going to bring that day. So maybe that day the table is celebration. But maybe that day the table's not celebration. Maybe that table is a hard conversation. The table always provides an opportunity. And as we get ready to talk, this is how personal we're going to make this. Like I mentioned, that chair that sits behind the camera, every year, even before I got here, there was always an empty chair behind the camera. For 7 years, as I talk and as I study and as I try to internalize this for myself, I've always did the podcast not for numbers, not for downloads, not for any other thing. I've always done the podcast for that one person, and I imagine that they're sitting in that chair behind the camera. And that's how personal I want to make this one too. So what you and I are going to get ready to do today is me and you are going to get ready to walk into this room together. And as we walk into this room, based off of part one, the God, Jesus, the man that has pursued us, that has loved us, that has done all of those amazing things that we looked at even from Luke 15 for us. At some point, somebody in terms of God who loves you that much, they're not just going to say it. At some point, a conversation has to happen. What do you mean? The God that claims to love you, he's not just going to say he loves you from his scriptures. He's going to want to talk with you. And so sometimes some of us, we understand the concept that God loves us, but we really don't want to sit at that table with him because we don't know what opportunity is going to be brought at that table. Is this going to be a celebration conversation? Or is this going to be looking at my inadequacies conversation? What opportunity is a table going to bring? And so we're going to call this one part two, single and searching, sitting at the table with Jesus. Man, I'm telling y'all, this has been such an amazing personal study. Sitting at the table with Jesus. So many of you, maybe myself included, many of you have been running from sitting at that table with Christ because you just don't know what opportunity the table's going to bring you that day. So the only time that you want to sit at that table is when the conversation's going to be celebratory or the conversation's going to go the way you want the conversation to go. You got to be able to sit and talk with the Lord because the person that claims to love you, if someone claims to love you, they want to know the next step of knowing you intimately. And that's where the disconnect happens with God. And that's where the disconnect happens with a real person that loves you. Because we understand that love and that love from another source feels incredible from God. That love from another source feels incredible from another person. But when it gets to that point where the intimacy of getting to know who you are as a person and getting to know your flaws and failures and everything about you, that's where we don't want to sit at the table anymore. You see, I'm telling y'all, this is where it gets to the nitty gritty. This is where we don't want to sit at the table anymore. But Jesus wants us to sit there. This is the next natural step, guys, sitting at the table with Jesus. So what we're going to do, go to John chapter 20. We're going to walk through this text here. John 20, this is incredible, man. John 20, I'm so excited. I'm like squirming in my chair right now. I couldn't sleep last night. This is so good. John 20, we're going to start in verse 24. Okay, this is going to be special. Now what we're going to do as me and you are sitting at the table with Jesus right now, we're going to look at a conversation of Jesus sitting at the table with someone else. And we're going to be introduced to Thomas, right? This is who Jesus is getting ready to sit at the table with, okay? So John chapter 20, let's get ready to dive back into this first century text together and let's study. Beginning verse 24. Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. Now, understand this. We understand Thomas, right? So Thomas, but what does it call him though? According to your text, if you're taking notes, what does it call Thomas in John 20, verse 24? It calls him the twin. What does that mean? Is that like a literal twin? Was there like a double of Thomas? What does it mean that Thomas was a twin? It's interesting that word twin in the Greek language. A lot of times, sometimes some of these words are very emotionally driven. And so I want you to think about this for a minute. Thomas called the twin. So the twin can mean like, it's like a dual meaning. So when you think about two people who are twins, they're identical in how they look, but they can be different, right? So the emotional context of this word twin is it's two sides of the same person. Okay. I don't want you to miss that. It's two sides of the same person. So we're still talking about Thomas, But the twin, it shows the two sides of him. Here's the one side of him. The one side of Thomas being called the twin was someone who understood and loved Christ, who loved following Christ, who loved being with Christ. That's one side. But then the other side of twin is the fear of when things go wrong, the fear of when things are difficult, the fear of when things are tough. Now, think about this. Now, Thomas called the twin a person who can have love to a high level, but also the same exact person who can have the same fear to that same level of love. Does that describe you? You love hard, but just as hard as you love, your fear for things that can go wrong is just as high as that love that you have to give. Thomas called the twin. So now we understand his internal. Thomas called the twin one of the 12. Now it gives us some information here. He was not with them when Jesus came. So what are we talking about? Sitting at the table with Jesus. So now we don't know the reason why Thomas was gone, why Thomas wasn't there. We have no idea, but based off the context of twin, we can use our Bible knowledge and Bible skills to put together a picture here. So if the twin is that two-sided person, is it possible that with Jesus being completely gone, the person that Thomas absolutely loved with everything that he had, now Thomas's fear is taking over? And is it possible that the reason why he wasn't with the 12 is because I need to be alone. I need to be by myself, and I need to be sorrowful because the person that I loved is completely gone, and I don't know if that man is coming back. You know, the reason why some of us miss Jesus is because we look at the discouragement. We look at the times where it feels like that chair that was supposed to be for Jesus is empty, and we'll leave the table. We'll leave the table. So what is Thomas doing here in verse 24? When Jesus showed up, when he was there at the table, ready to talk to Thomas, ready to talk to the 12, he just wasn't there. You know, when you meet a God that pursues you with everything that he has, when you love that God, when you understand that God loves you, that God is sitting at that table. But sometimes how things have gone in your life, how things are absolutely insane, how things aren't lining up, how you can't figure this out, how you can't get control of certain things in your life right now, Jesus, the God that pursues you, sitting right there, wanting to know you, wanting to help you, wanting to be there inside that situation. But because I can't figure the situation out, I don't deserve a seat at the table of the man that pursues me. Do you understand the correlation I'm getting here? I don't deserve a seat. So then when Jesus is there, we miss him. When Jesus is there, we miss him. And then think about down the line, when a woman of God, when a man of God, we can miss that too. We can miss that too. Think about this. You ever seen those movies where a guy, girl, whatever the case might be, they're sitting at like a coffee shop, they're sitting outside, and they have a date, and they wait for 5 minutes, they wait for 15, they wait for 20, and they just sit there and the date just doesn't show. Sometimes that's how, think about this, the man in terms of God, the man Jesus Christ, who's trying to pursue us, sometimes we stand Jesus up. Because Jesus, right now in my life, I can't figure things out. Right now in my life, I'm not the picture of perfection that others seem to tell me I need to be and how I feel like I need to be. So Jesus, I'm going to stand you up. And then all of our lives, Jesus is just sitting there at that table, at this empty chair that's in this room with me right now. Jesus is sitting at that table, and he's been waiting for you for however long you've been living. And he's been waiting and sitting and waiting and sitting and waiting and sitting. But all that I've done is I understand his pursuit of me, and I appreciate that. But outside of that, I got nothing to give you, Jesus, because I don't deserve to sit next to you, and I don't deserve a table. Brethren, please, I'm telling you, ladies and fellas, stop doing that, man, because you're missing out on him. You will never, in this life, there is never a moment where you feel like you got it figured out. And if you're waiting for a moment where you feel like you got it figured out, you're going to miss it. You're going to miss it, and you're going to miss out on the perfect man that's pursuing you, and that's Jesus Christ. You're going to miss that. That's not even including a regular man or woman. This, we're talking about just him right now. You're going to miss that. And I hope right now as you're listening to this, I hope you're getting uncomfortable. I hope you've paused it. I hope you maybe you're even getting mad. I hope you're doing that right now, because that means this is working. This is stuff you need to hear. This is stuff I need to hear. You see why this is nitty gritty? This is difficult stuff. Thomas the twin, that same level of love and that same level of fear, Thomas was not with them when Jesus showed up. Replace Thomas's name with yours in verse 24. Jordan wasn't there when Jesus showed up. Put your name there, wasn't there when Jesus showed up. Why? Well, I understand his pursuit, but I just feel like I just didn't really deserve that. So I just didn't want to sit at that table, and I didn't want to have that intimate conversation with Jesus at the table, because I didn't know what that conversation would bring. So therefore, now I'm going to get mad at Jesus, at the person that's pursuing me. So now I get mad at Jesus, because now I get mad. Why could you love somebody like me? I'm tired of this. I'm leaving the table. Is that you? This is nitty gritty stuff. Thomas wasn't with them. Just wasn't there. Verse 25. The other disciples therefore said to him, right? We're talking about Thomas now. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." Now, we got to keep this in context. We got to keep this in mind. When we read the scripture, as we read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we understand that as we read this, we understand that Jesus is going to resurrect. We can put the pieces together based on the other gospels that Jesus was going to come again. We could put together the pieces of what the angels were saying to the women. We can understand that, because now we have the full revelation there. But you got to think about it from their perspective in real time. They were lacking faith that he was going to resurrect. They didn't understand that. So now think about Thomas wasn't there when Jesus showed up at the table. The other people, the other disciples, Thomas, we saw the Lord. We saw him. Man, I mean, just that concept of seeing the Lord and being there and understanding the man that we knew that was once in the grave. We've literally seen him. Now watch what Thomas says. So he, Thomas, the twin, said to them. Now, I want you to notice as we read this, if you like to highlight or circle in your Bible like I do, I want you to circle and highlight the personal pronouns that you see in verse number 25. Okay, watch this. This is going to be crazy. "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand in his side, I will not believe." Here is a side effect of you and I being afraid to sit at the table and what opportunity that table is going to bring with Jesus. Here's a side effect of not sitting at the table. If we don't learn to sit at the table with Jesus, who pursues my heart and wants to know me intimately, my flaws, what I'm struggling with, who I am, if I don't want to sit and have that conversation with Jesus, number one, you'll leave, like we talked about in verse 24. But then number two, verse 25, here's the danger. Here's what's going to happen. You're going to make everything conditional with him. So now, how would this be? I want you to think about this. Imagine you're on a date. If you're married, imagine you're with your spouse. You go in, you get there early, right? So you get there, you get everything set up. You know, the waiter comes, you got your waters, you got all that stuff. And then the person that you're dating comes and sits there with you. And as they come there and sit there with you, before you even say, hello, how you doing? You look great. I'm glad you're here. Before you can even get that out, here's what they say. Before you say a word, here's what you know. A minimum of $100 is going to be spent on me. And then, by the way, after this, we can't really stay long because I don't like to stay long after I eat. So therefore, then after that, you're going to have to take me to this amazing ice cream place across the street. And then after you take me to that ice cream place across the street, we're going to have to go on this boat ride because I want this to happen. And if we can't make that work, then this is really not going to work between us. So what do you want to do? How would you feel? If it was me, I'd say, check, please. Check, please. I'm out. Check, please. That's insane. Why? Because now this is not a mutual thing anymore. Now what this is, when we don't want to sit and talk at the table with the God that pursues me and then with people that pursue, what we do is now the only other conversation I can have at that table, the only conversation is about me. That's the only conversation that's left. And isn't it interesting that the other disciples, when they sat at the table with Jesus, according to verse 25, what conversations was about them in verse 25? Who's the subject of the conversation who was at the table with Jesus? We saw the Lord. It's not about me. It's not about what I did. Hey, Thomas, we saw the Lord. Then what's Thomas saying? The man that didn't see the Lord. Well, the Lord's got to meet my conditions. Is that you? When you come to the table, because you're so afraid of the opportunity that the table brings, the only conversation that you can have now, it's all about what has to happen for you in order for the possibility. That's in order for the possibility for something to work. Not even the guarantee, the possibility. Hey, Jesus, look, before this works, you know, you're gonna have to prove a lot of stuff to me, Christ. I appreciate your pursuit of me, and I'm not going to take that for granted. But in order for this to move forward, Christ, what me and you are going to have to do, you're going to have to meet my conditions. When we sit at the table with him, when someone pursues you, and when we're now the subject is still Jesus. When Jesus pursues, the subject now is not about me anymore. When you sit at the table with him, the subject is you. Well, Lord, I thought you wanted to know more about me. I will, and I'll know more about you if you know more about me. Then just as a quick side mission, we're going to get to this in later podcasts, but then what happens if this happens in real life? So now if I'm sitting across the table with somebody, if I'm going to pursue them as God, who's the subject? And if they are trying to pursue me like God, who's the subject? See what I'm saying? But we have to start with the right pursuit, and we have to get it right with Jesus first. So what is Thomas doing? Jesus has to meet my conditions in order for me to come to the table. If my conditions aren't met, I'm not there. I'm not there. He literally said, I'm not going to believe. Is that you right now with Jesus? Are you leaving Jesus hanging, number one? That's one deal. But then number two, if you don't want to leave Jesus hanging, you're showing up to the table, but you're showing up to the table with you as the direct object of conversation. Either way, you're wrong. Either way, I'm wrong. Either way. It's just a matter of we have to identify where we are. You see why this was a hard personal study? You see why pointing five fingers, you see why that was tough? This is not easy stuff. This is nitty gritty. So now, as we continue, then verse 26, and after 8 days, that's interesting. Circle or highlight that phrase, please. after 8 days, this goes back to the twin idea in verse 24. His love level for Christ was high, but also his fear level was high. So then the other disciples saw the Lord. Thomas said, I will not believe unless all these conditions are made. And then what happens? Thomas goes off, and then nothing happens for 8 days. Nothing happens for 8 days. Where you and I might be right now, I'm putting up air quotes if you're not watching the video portion. Right now, you and I might be sitting in our 8 day window. 8 day window. Meaning, we've come to the table, we understand his pursuit, we come to the table with conditions, and now all we're doing at that table is we're sitting and we're waiting for our 8 days for him to meet our conditions. And then when he doesn't meet our conditions, then what do we say about Jesus? You never cared. And now you're not even at the table anymore. You're gone. Is that you? Is that you? After 8 days, his disciples, here we go, his disciples were again inside. Here's these phrases, man. You cannot miss these phrases as we study scripture. Beautiful. His disciples were again inside. I love this because now, verse 25, they saw Jesus, didn't they? So now Jesus showed himself here. When Jesus shows up, I want to be where he is. The person that pursues, when the pursuer keeps coming, I want to be where the pursuer is. I want to be where Jesus is. So we saw him here. We're going to be inside. Why? Because he said he's going to be here too. I want to be where he is. Man, I think there's a song too that's beautiful. I just want to be where you are. Talking about Jesus. I mean, even if where you are is in this valley, even if where you are is in the shadow of the valley of death, even where you are, if it's by yourself, even where you are, I just want to be where you are. You see how we, guys, we have to get this one right. We have to get this relationship. We have to get this pursuit right. Because if we don't get this pursuit right, then any other pursuit that we have, we're going to get it wrong. We got to get this pursuit right. I just want to be where you are. And remember, based off that conversation that I brought up earlier with that podcast between two friends, I had nothing to give. Jesus, why would you want to sit at the table with me when I can't give you what you deserve? Jesus, why would you want to sit at the table with me when I'm not quote unquote complete yet? Why would you want to sit at the table with me when I don't have my own life figured out? Lord, why would you want my company? And think about it from Jesus' side. Jordan, put your name there. I just want to be where you are. I just want to be where you are. Isn't that just incredible? And again, this is just a side mission. Now think about this down the line when we start talking about real people who love with the heart of Christ. It won't make sense, but I just want to be where you are. Come on. Okay, let's keep going. All right, 26. After 8 days, his disciples were again inside. And now watch this. Now this is crazy. Now watch this little phrase. And Thomas was what now? Thomas was with them. Then Jesus came again, the doors being shut, and he stood in the midst, and he said, peace be unto you. I love this because now this shows that twin thing. So now Thomas had to take his 8 days. He had to take his time trying to figure this out. But now think about what, man, maybe I did miss out. Maybe I should have been. So now who's with the other 12? Now Thomas is with them. You know, sometimes as God pursues us in our humanity, sometimes he knows sometimes he knows and he's so patient and gracious with us. And there's times that we might get so mad at the pursuit. I don't like, have you ever gotten mad that God pursued you that much? So then because you don't get it, you get frustrated. So sometimes we get so angry because we can't understand why the pursuit is there. Then we need to take our 8 days. And we just need to, I just don't. But then if we're prayerful, if we're honest, if we're looking at it, maybe they're right. And then now you're back where Jesus is. Sometimes in our humanity, he's that patient and gracious with us. Verse 27. Then he said to Thomas, this is insane. Now remember all those things that all the conditions that Thomas met or said in verse 25. What's interesting, in verse 27, there's no record of Thomas saying it again. But remember, Jesus knew and Jesus understood what Thomas demanded of him 8 days ago. So here's what's insane. As we're sitting at the table with Jesus, and Thomas is sitting directly across from Jesus. 8 days ago, Thomas came to the quote-unquote date, and he gave conditions. And Jesus just sat there and listened. That's another great concept that we need to look from God. Sometimes when that happens, you just need to sit and listen. And sometimes you just need to just be gracious. But as Jesus is doing this, 8 days passes. They have another conversation. And before Thomas can even speak, Jesus knew the demands of Thomas. You know, sometimes we think when we don't show up at the table that we're hiding something from God. God knows your demands. He knows your demands. And what he says, he tells Thomas, he says, "Peace be unto you to everyone else." And then he looks at him. "Thomas, reach your finger here. Look at my hand. Reach your hand here. Put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." What's the application? As we sit at that table with Jesus, sometimes we have so many demands of the man that's pursuing us. We're wasting time. Okay? And I'm begging you, I just don't want you to miss it. You're wasting time. And instead of making your demands of the person that's pursuing you, again, Jesus is the subject here. Instead of making demands and conditions, and everything has to be so conditional, at least for you in your world, instead of focusing on you in your world, guess what that means? If you focus so much on you in your world, and I focus so much on me in my world, guess what that's a sign of? You're unbelieving. You're unbelieving. I'm unbelieving. So then we take that world and the craziness that's happening in our little worlds, and we'll use that as an excuse to tell Jesus why I'm not sitting at the table with you. Do not be unbelieving. You hear me, young guys? You hear me, ladies? Stop running in circles, because that's essentially what you're doing. And I want to be someone who's going to really keep it just real with you because I love you. Stop doing that, because you're going to run yourself ragged. And let me tell you a little secret. Your little world that's crazy right now, it's never going to stop. Okay? I'm just going to be real with you. Your little world that's crazy right now that you're trying to figure things out, it will never stop. It will never stop. My world, something, guess what? It'll never stop. So therefore, stop using that as an excuse not to sit at the table with your Lord. Stop. Stop using it as an excuse. The Lord wants to know you intimately in your insanity. The Lord wants to know you intimately in your confusion. The Lord wants to know you intimately in your sin. The Lord wants to know you intimately as you're confused. There's no condition that the Lord is giving as he's sitting at that table. He says, "Come here." Matthew 11:28. "Come unto me. Come unto me." Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, looking unto him. As I'm at the table, I'm coming to the table and I'm just looking at him. But why is it that we expect, that we feel like we got to figure things out in order for me to even sit at the table? This is just with Jesus. We're not even including other good Christian people. Well, this is just him right now. We'll get there in later podcasts. This is just him right now. But you see where this can lead? He's telling Thomas, don't be unbelieving, but believe. Believe that Jesus wants you at that table. Believe he wants you at that table. I want to read this to you. I think this is important. It says here, this is interesting. It says, this is a clear lesson that when you want assurance, look to the wounds of Jesus. They are evidence of his love, of his sacrifice, of his victory, and of his resurrection. The whole conversation that Jesus is giving. Now, this is huge. I really don't want you to miss this as ministers, as leaders. This is important. The whole conversation that Jesus had with Thomas was a rebuke. I don't want you to miss that. The whole conversation was a rebuke, but the rebuke was so veiled with love that Thomas couldn't even see that it was a rebuke. What does Paul tell Timothy? Preach the word, be instant in season, out season, out of season, reprove and rebuke. Why do we think that? Now, there's cases that call for it, but why do we think that every single case is a punch in the face? Jesus rebuked Thomas here in verse 27, but Jesus rebuked him in love based off his own demand. That's how masterful Jesus was. And as we learn to deal with people and help people, sometimes when this happens, verses 24 to 29, your rebuke doesn't have to be flipping tables. That called for it when Jesus did it. Your rebuke can be so veiled in love that those that you're rebuking don't even know that you're rebuking them. But sometimes it looks like you just got to take it. And that's the beauty of trying to have the heart of Christ. That's the beauty of it. That's the beauty of it. So in verse 28, then Thomas answered, and he said to him, my Lord and my God. Sometimes in our own weakness, when we sit at the table with Jesus, sometimes in our own weakness, in our unbelief, even when he proves it to us, he's so gracious to us that now we just have to sit and say, Lord, I was wrong. Is that you? To the Jesus that has pursued you, at some point you're going to have to say, I tried to figure things out on my own. Things got crazier and crazier. My Lord and my God, I was wrong for not coming to the table. I was wrong for throwing away your pursuit. That's real. That's nitty-gritty stuff. Is that you? Some of you right now are still running. You're still running from them. In whatever state you are, you can say what Thomas said in verse 28. My Lord and my God, I just want to sit at the table. I just want to sit at the table. And as ministers, as guys, as ladies, when we meet people in our lives and when we help people and when we love people, we must learn to love them like Jesus did. Well, Jordan, I don't have things figured out. Jordan, things are difficult. Jordan, things are tough. Jordan, I don't understand. Let's just sit at the table. We're not going to sit here and try to figure out your life. We're not going to sit here and try to make things work. We're not going to sit here and try to answer every question that you have in your life and in your family's life and in your kids' life. We're not going to just come sit at the table. And sometimes when we as Christians, when we learn to sit at the table with each other and when we together look at the wounds of Jesus, healing happens. And you're missing out on that. I'm missing out on that. My Lord and my God. Verse 29. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me. Now, he again, this is still rebuke, but he's still veiling this in love. And at the same time, this is for me and you as we're reading this. So Jesus is so masterful in his teaching that he's still rebuking Thomas veiled in love. But what he's also doing, he's looking to the future for us. He's looking for the future for those who are going to believe in him later past this. Verse 29, Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those, again, his language that he uses in Matthew 5. Blessed are those who have not seen, but they believe. But they believe. You know, a lot of us, as we sit at this table with Jesus, and I really hope, here's a couple things. One, I hope this has made you, and I'm saying this, I'm trying to say this veiled in love as Jesus did. I hope as you listen to this, I hope there's a sense of a little anger, and I hope there's a sense of frustration, because you should feel that right now. You should feel that, and I hope you do. Because this is what's going to get you from what you're doing right now, and it's going to get you to sitting at the table. So I hope that frustration happens. But then two, I hope that as you learn to come to that table of the Jesus that is pursuing you, I hope as you learn to come to that table that you won't come to that table with conditions of getting your life fixed. See, that's why we come to the table too. We come to the table for Jesus to fix stuff. We come to other people to get them to fix stuff. We come to ourselves to get us to fix stuff. Coming to Jesus is not about Jesus fixing my life right now. Coming to Jesus is not about him giving me someone right now. Coming to Jesus is not about him doing things for me right now. That's not the reason why I come to the table. The reason why I come to the table is because I just want to know his love more within whatever's happening. That's the reason I come. I don't come to the table to get something out of this. I come to the table because I just want to love you and I want to learn more about you. And if you have me staying things, if you have me walking this path, if you have me going down this road, if you have me going down that road, if you have this happen, if you have that happen, then so be it. But I'm not here at the table to get anything out of you, God. I'm here at the table because I understand in your love and pursuit, I don't deserve a seat here. But I will sit here because you want me here. That's different from someone that pursues you. That's different. I'm begging you, don't miss it. Don't justify within your own head and your own fears and your own thoughts and your own knowledge. I'm begging you, don't miss that. Please don't miss it. Because you're going to. You're going to make an excuse and it's going to sound good in your head. Don't miss it. Because he's sitting there and he's been waiting. Don't leave him hanging there. Don't leave him hanging there. You see why I was excited to do this? You see why I needed this? You see why maybe you needed this? Sitting at the table. Sitting at the table. Don't run from that table with him. Man, again, please, I'm begging you, please, you don't do this by yourself either. Reach out to us. Text us. I can give you my number. Just reach out to us. Study with us. Ask questions. This is communal study as we're going through this. And so we don't want you to feel like you have to do this on your own, because you don't have to do it on your own. You don't have to do it on your own. So we love you guys. We appreciate you guys. Thank you guys for being patient with me. We should be back on regular schedule next week. If not, it'll be Tuesday, but there will be a podcast next week as we do part three. So love you guys, man. Appreciate you guys dearly. And we will see you next week with another podcast. Thanks, guys.